Back to the book of Ephesians for our study this evening. We had a reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 9. Had that same reading this evening. This morning we dealt with the latter portion of that passage, particularly verse 8 regarding salvation by grace. This evening we want to deal with the earlier part of that passage, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We want to read through verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, just as the rest of mankind. Here in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 3, just prior to salvation by grace that came to the Ephesians, it is said that they were by nature children of wrath. This statement poses several fundamental questions. Was the Apostle Paul teaching that people are sinners by nature, that is, by natural generation? That is, were they born sinners? I ask that because that's the way many of the denominationalists take it. They think that what's under consideration here that Paul is saying is that people inherited this constitution of moral corruption. That is, they were born that way by nature. That is, by birth, they were children of wrath. Children of wrath simply has reference to those to whom the wrath of God abides upon. And so the wrath of God abides upon all, according to the denominationalists who hold to Calvinism, because of total hereditary depravity. That is, man took upon himself the sin of Adam, that is, through natural generation. That is, he inherited the sin from one generation to the next. And most in the denominational world take this view because of that very teaching, that by nature here means by birth or by natural inheritance. Again, it is simply the doctrine of total hereditary depravity. But such is not taught anywhere in the Word of God at all. The sense of this passage can only be learned by considering the setting in which we find it, by considering the context. Does by nature here mean by birth they were children of wrath? I think when we carefully consider the context in which we find this statement, we see that it cannot support the doctrine of total hereditary depravity. And the idea that one is a child of wrath by birth, that the wrath of God remains on him simply because he is a descendant of Adam, is nowhere taught in the scripture at all. So let's begin by looking at this statement, by nature children of wrath tonight, by first considering just a quick summary of the text and the context in which we find this statement. First of all, we note that the condition of these Ephesians to whom Paul was writing this was brought about by their own conduct, by their own behavior. We read in verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. They were dead, that is, they were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Why were they spiritually dead in trespasses and sins? Was it because of Adam's sin that they were spiritually dead? Or was it because of their own sin that they were spiritually dead? I want to suggest to you that they were dead spiritually in trespasses and sins, because that was their behavior, their conduct. They engaged in trespasses and sins. Trespasses is going beyond that which God has said. That is, the bounds which God has set. That is, they violated, they transgressed the law of God. By their conduct, they were dead spiritually. Isaiah 59 in verse 1. The prophet said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Man becomes dead spiritually in sin because of his own sin, not because of Adam's sin or someone else's sins. One's own sins separates him from God. And the Ephesians were dead in their own trespasses and sins, not in the sins of another. We see that to be the case because of the context. They were dead in their own trespasses and sins. How? Note their conduct or their behavior, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So the Ephesians were dead in their own sins because of what they had done, because of their own conduct, because of their own behavior. The word walked here doesn't have reference to literally taking a step with the leg or the foot, but it has reference to their behavior, their conduct. It was their manner of life. It was the way they lived, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. They once walked according to, that preposition translated according to there is, could have been translated under the control of the course of this world. Some of the newer versions, instead of the word course, use the word way, the way of this world. But the word translated course here is actually the word in the Greek that's most times translated age, the age of this world. What's under consideration? Well, that the Ephesians at one time in their life, before they were saved by the grace of God, they walked according to, that is, after the rule of the age of this world. Now, how are we to understand that? Well, remember what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 1. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Man conforms himself to the age of the world in which he lives. Whatever age of the world that man lives in, he conforms himself to the people of that time period. That's what's under consideration. So the Ephesians at one time, before they were saved by the grace of God, had lived, conducted themselves, behaved themselves according to the age of this world. That is, according, the word world here is used in reference to, used by metonymy. It's the people of the world that is under consideration. The complete mass of humanity that is living contrary to the will of God. And so the Ephesians at one time simply conformed themselves to the people of the age in which they lived, just like people do today. Instead of conforming themselves to the teaching of the Word of God, they conformed themselves to the people of the world, the ungodly people of the world. That's what the Ephesians had once done before they were saved by the grace of God. And so it was their behavior, their conduct, the manner of life in which they lived that brought them spiritual death. It wasn't the fact that they were simply related to Adam through generation and Adam's sin had been passed to them. No, they were dead spiritually because of the way in which they lived. They conformed themselves and patterned themselves after the rule of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is, according to Satan. According to, again, Satan rules in their life. And so, what do? As they conform their lives to the people, ungodly people of the world, they conform their lives to Satan's dictates in their life. That's why they were dead in trespasses and sin, not because of Adam's sin. Another point in the text, in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Paul includes himself here. We all once conducted ourselves. The word conducted there could have been translated live. We all once lived according to or ruled by the lust of the flesh, the lust, the cravings of the flesh, the dictates of the flesh ruled their behavior. They simply succumbed and gave themselves up to the rule of the flesh. They were governed by the desires of their flesh. And that's why they were dead in trespasses and sin. Not because of Adam's sin. There's something else mentioned that shows us that it was because of their own conduct, because of their own behavior, because of the way in which they lived that they were dead in trespasses and sin. And that is, they fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the man. Fulfilling the desires, the inclinations of the flesh. That is, every inclination, desire, and will of the flesh, they fulfilled. They gratified. And note this, and of the man. The word man here is actually put for the thoughts of man. They originate in the mind of man. But the word is in the plural in the Greek. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the man. That is, of their thoughts. Because their thoughts were evil continually, no doubt as it was even from the beginning when man fell away from God. And so that's why they were dead in trespasses and sins. It wasn't because of Adam's sin. The very nature of the conduct of the Ephesians themselves were sinful. And it was made sinful by them walking, living and indulging and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Nature does not refer to their nature by birth, but to the nature or character of their deeds. Living in sinful ways had become their customary practice. It had become their habitual practice. Thus it could be said that they were by nature children of wrath. Sometimes we use the phrase a second nature. That is, if we get into a habit of doing something, we say, well, it's just my second nature. I just automatically do it. That's what these folks had done. It had become a habitual practice, a habitual way of living, conducting themselves and behaving themselves that classified them as children of wrath by nature. Nothing indicates here that they were born that way. They were made that way by their own conduct, by their own behavior. We might say that these Ephesians were, by the very nature of their actions, children of wrath, children subject to the wrath of God. So we see that the context doesn't bear the idea out that by nature means by birth, does it? By nature means that they had conducted themselves and behaved themselves that way as a habitual practice. As a matter of fact, when we consider the Greek word from which the word nature comes, and we look and see how the lexicographers have defined it for us, we see that that's the definition of the word in the text itself. This word that is translated nature here does at times denote an inherited nature, but it is not always used that way in the New Testament. And it is certainly not used that way in this text. Note how Joseph Thayer defines the word nature as it is used here in Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Thayer says in his lexicon, the word in this text means a mode of feeling or acting which by long habit had become nature. Which by long habit had become nature. So it's used in the same sense that we use the phrase sometimes by second nature. It has become our nature. It has become our habitual practice. After a long period of time doing the same thing over and over again, we simply do it again, sometimes without thinking about it. That's the way the word is used here. And this definition that Thayer gives it best fits the context. The mode of feeling and acting of the Ephesians had by long habit become their nature to them. Walking after the ways of the world and Satan and living in lust and indulging the desires of the flesh, by long habit had become their nature. Thus, as a result of such behavior, the Ephesians were subject to the wrath of God. It wasn't because that they were born that way. by nature children of wrath. But yet, the denominationalists, the Calvinists, say, man is so totally depraved that he cannot do one good thing for himself in regard to his own salvation. And that's why they teach the doctrine, grace alone or grace only, because man is so totally depraved from his mother's womb. He cannot so much as believe until God infuses him with belief by direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon his heart. But the Scripture simply does not teach that man inherits a sin nature, that the sin of Adam is passed from generation to generation. It is not taught in this passage, and it is not taught anywhere in the New Testament at all. As a matter of fact, when we make a consideration of some other passages of Scripture in regard to what sin really is, we see that sin is not something that one inherits, but sin is something that one does. Sin is something that one practices. Sin is what one engages in. If sin is what one inherits, then it can't be said that he practices it or does it. But we see when the Scriptures define sin for us, we see that it is something that man does, that man engages in. For example, in 1 John 3 and in verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. King James Version says, sin is transgression of law. Better translation, New King James Version and others, sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness means that one simply disregards law. He has a total disregard and disrespect for law. Thus we talk about people in our own society and during our own time being lawless. It's not that there is no law, and it's not that they are not subject to law, but they're simply total disregard for the law under which they live, whether it be man's law or God's law. I often use the illustration, when one speeds down the interstate at 110 miles an hour, he's showing a total disregard for law. He's acting lawlessly. That's the idea. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. When you commit lawlessness, you disregard law. You disobey law. You violate law. It is something you do, not something you inherit. Do we not see that? Sin is not something you inherit, it's something you do. How do you do sin? You violate law. You disrespect law. You disregard law. It is lawlessness. We also see the same thought in regard to unrighteousness. 1 John 5 and in verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, what is unrighteousness? The way to understand what unrighteousness is to understand what righteousness is. I often use the example of Luke 1 in verse 6. The parents of John the Baptizer, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were righteous in that they kept the commandments and ordinances of God blameless. So they were righteous. To be righteous is to keep or to obey the commandments and ordinances of God. That's what righteous conduct is. If one is unrighteous, he disobeys the commandments and ordinances of God, disrespects those commandments and ordinances, does not keep them. All unrighteousness is sin. What is sin? It's unrighteousness. It's not right doing. It's not doing what is right in the eyes of God. And so we see that sin is not something inherited. Sin is something you do. It's something you practice. It's something you engage in. 1 John 3 and in verse 7, John said, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. The one who does right is righteous before God. The one who keeps the commandments and ordinances of God is righteous. The one who does not keep, obey, observe, but violates the commandments and ordinances of God is unrighteous. So again, unrighteousness is something a person does, and righteousness is what people do. Sin is unrighteousness. And then Paul tells us in Romans 14 and verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from, or literally et out of, faith is sin. Whatever is not out of faith, whatever is not found in faith, is sin. It is something that one does. One disobeys. One does not believe. One does not respond in obedience to. It is sin. Faith is something one exercises. And one does not exercise his faith, he sins. So sin, again, is something one does, not something one inherits. Just think about it. If by nature is to be understood as by birth or by generation, like the Calvinists would teach, then wasn't he born of woman? Didn't he become flesh? Did not he descend, like all men, from the seed of Adam? Indeed he did. Hebrews 2 and verse 14, the writer of Hebrews said, inasmuch then as the children have partaken, note this, of flesh and blood, he himself, speaking of Jesus Christ, likewise shared in the same. Jesus Christ shares in humanity. Deity became human, remember? So if by nature means by birth, we're children of wrath. If by nature means by natural generation. If by nature means that we inherit the sin of Adam. Why didn't Jesus inherit the sin of Adam? Because he was made to be partaker of flesh and blood, that he might be like man. As a matter of fact, Luke 3 and in verse 38, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus Christ was certainly not by nature, that is by birth, a child of wrath. But yet that's what Calvinism and total hereditary depravity leads to. So they have to come up with some way to say, well, all other men inherited the sin of Adam, but the man Jesus Christ did not inherit the sin of Adam. They can't answer that, because man does not inherit the sin of Adam to begin with. A person is not corrupt morally and sinfully due to an inheritance of the guilt from Adam, but through his own actions, through his own behavior. So through our own behavior and through our own actions, through our own habitual practice in sin, we can be children of wrath, children subject to the wrath of God. There's a passage in the Old Testament that kind of summarizes what is said about the Ephesians by Paul here in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 20, where the prophet said, the soul who sins shall die. The soul who sins shall die spiritually. That is, regardless of who it is, the soul who sins, the person who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. That is a total contradiction to Calvinistic teaching regarding total hereditary depravity. Amen. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. You can't be righteous for someone else, nor can you be wicked for someone else. One's righteousness comes by his own keeping the commandments and ordinances of God. one's wickedness comes by his own disobedience to the commandments and ordinances of God. And when one does that, he becomes sinful, and by nature a child of wrath, subject to the wrath of God. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening, I hope you're not subject to the wrath of God. But even if you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, that makes you subject to the wrath of God. But if you'll repent of that sin, confess that sin and acknowledge it, pray to God that He will forgive you of it, He indeed will cleanse you by the blood of His Son, restore you to a rightful place in His sight. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.